For today's roundtable, we're very excited to be back in Studio A here at Focus on the Family. It's always a privilege when we can be in Studio A. We used to be in Studio A, then we got kind of kicked out because whatever Jim Daly had to tape in here. So now we get to come back in because we have a good number of guests at the table today, which is very exciting, and I want to go ahead and introduce them. We've got Jesse Floria over there. Jesse, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Jesse is our editor of Clubhouse Magazine here at Focus on the Family. So, but you are also, you're a parent. You've got, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I do. I have two children. I have a senior in high school and a junior right behind. My son is a senior, and we've been part of some just amazing father-son things here at Focus on the Family. And so I'm just excited to be able to share a little bit here today.
Okay. Awesome. You don't really look like you have a high schooler. That's very
interesting.
Yeah. I kind of consider you to be like my age, and I don't really feel like. Wow. Okay. And Martha's here with us. Martha, welcome.
I'm back.
Martha's back. I guess she doesn't need an introduction because she's, you know, she's part of the team all over the blog now. So very exciting. Leon Worth is also back, our
Good
executive
morning,
director
Lisa.
Of Family Ministries here at Focus. So we're hoping he has something to say about families. That's good. That's why we invited you.
You know, I have a little bit of experience at home with that as well. We actually have eight daughters. My wife and I have been married for 17 years, and we have eight daughters ranging from 14 in high school all the way down to 7 months.
So it's almost two basketball teams.
That's right.
Yeah.
With subs.
Two quartets. Almost. How about that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. And then we have two special guests with us today. Very excited about this because they're out-of-town guests. Haven't been on the Boundless Show before, but very familiar to the Focus on the Family. First, I want to introduce Tony Wheeler. Tony, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Very good to have you. Tony is Executive Director of the Blessing Challenge, and we're going to tell you a little bit more about that here in a minute. He's also a professor at Berklee College. You have your PhD in family life education, which I don't even know what that is. Is that something new?
Yeah, we're figuring that out.
Oh, okay.
It's basically trying to look at proactive education, where therapy is more reactive, where walk into your office and they're already struggling with something. And so developed this program to look at, in society, how do we develop processes to help people to avoid some of those pitfalls and traps before they are overwhelmed and struggling. So that's why Blessing Challenge is all about proactive. You know, we want people to live the blessing for a lifetime and avoid some of those curses that take us in wrong directions.
Okay. And we also have as our final guest around the table, we have Dr. John Trent. John Trent, welcome.
Hey, thank you. What an honor to be here. Gosh.
Very fun to have you, and very cool because I think a lot of people in our audience know of you. You're kind of like,
Yeah, I'm old. Yeah,
whenever I say like, I don't want to say this in a bad way because usually, you know, when we talk to our audience about like Dr. Dobson, it's kind of like, oh, Dr. Dobson's books, my parents, you know, they read his books, and as a result, so you're kind of in that same, you know, maybe some of the parents have read some of those books in the 80s, 90s, stuff like, you know, I mean, I'm just saying.
That's a major compliment, though, right, Lisa?
That is a compliment. I just put you there with Dr. Dobson. I'm just saying, okay? Now, I remember you, don't realize this, but I worked way back in the day in our, what was then the correspondence department. And John used to bring us donuts. Very exciting.
And do we see donuts on the table this morning, Lisa?
We don't, but that's okay.
I wasn't thinking correspondence. I was thinking
exactly. We don't do enough for him like correspondence does. They help him out. He likes them.
We'll have to remember that next time.
Yes. Anyway, so very exciting. John, you are obviously, like I said, well-known in the Christian world. You are an author. You're from Phoenix, but you are the founding president of StrongFamilies.com, which is committed to strengthening marriage and family relationships. You've written everything from life mapping. You just wrote The 2-Degree Difference not too long ago. You've written a ton of stuff with Gary Smalley, who we're actually going to feature on the show coming up here pretty soon as well. And then the book that we are going to talk about today, which you wrote with Gary, called The Blessing.
Right.
And it's interesting because as I was thinking about this, you're also known. Oh, this is something I was going to do too. You're also known for the personality kind of what do you call that? Like indicator.
Well, you know, it is funny. You know, with like our oldest daughter is 24, And all of her friends, you know, a lot of people kind of know about lions and otters and retrievers and beavers. And, you know, the lions are the take charge, charge up the hill people. And the otters are the parties waiting to happen that, you know thousands of people. They just don't know anybody's name. And your golden retrievers are the real sensitive, caring people and buy 20 boxes of Girl Scout cookies every year. And then the beavers are the detailed, organized people. But when I first created that a long time ago, I did lion, otter, duck. Oh. And beaver. And nobody wanted to be a duck. I couldn't figure it out. I mean, they're beautiful. They mate for life. There's all these great qualities that ducks have. But so I changed it to golden retriever. That was before it, you know, teamed up with Gary, who you'll have a great time with. Gary Smiley, he'll be great on. But yeah, it's really fun to. So actually, my daughter Carrie and I a lot of times go around and talk and help people understand their strengths. Are they a lion, otter, retriever, or beaver? And
yeah.
Of course, you're all of those. You're just a great blend of all of those, right?
That's what I like to say. I like to say that. I say that to my parents because my parents are extremely different, my mom being more of the take charge person and my dad being kind of the servant heart mercy. And I just say, I'm just like the perfect balance of both of them.
Yes.
That's what I like to say. Maybe they don't totally understand.
And humble. Cool. Don't forget humble.
And humble. Yeah. Well, there's not a specific animal, I don't think, for only humility, but that would be just off to the side.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
So what are you, Leon? Which one are you?
Top? I am strongest as retriever with secondary otter.
Okay. That's a retriever / otter. That's okay, right. What about you, Tony?
I am a lion, otter, golden.
Whoa.
In
that
order.
Three.
Yeah. Okay. So that means I'm, you know, a hybrid of nothing, I think.
Okay.
No, but kind of like me complex. Leader, but sensitive, but also detail oriented.
On the beaver scale, you know, we on our online assessment, it's 0 to 100. I'm a 6 on the beaver scale. So there's not a lot of black and white in my life or detail. So,
John, we know you're an otter.
Yeah, unfortunately.
For sure. You're an otter. He talks about that a lot. Very fun. Jesse, what about you?
I guess I found that I'm a duck because I'm a golden retriever and with a little bit of otter mixed in. So that's a new animal I can add. So that's kind of nice.
Wow, that's the perfect person. That's my wife.
Martha?
Well, I am definitely a beaver with a touch of golden retriever.
Good. Okay. Well, that's why you can meet all those deadlines for the blog and everything.
It's true. Yeah. It comes in handy.
Which is good that she's on the team because I'm a lion otter. So... yeah, so there you have it.
Yeah. That means you lead the way to the party.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly. That's how it rolls. So, well, let's go ahead and jump into the topic because this is going to be great for us. And I was telling these guys ahead of time about you all out there and kind of the demographics of our audience. And it's interesting to me because in thinking of the blessing, in fact, I was talking with Leon about this yesterday and I was like, okay, so... so who actually does this? Like, if you stand, if you, you know, walk around your church and ask some people and you're like, so, you know, are you just out there blessing people? You know, people are going to be like, what?
Right.
And yet I know it's like totally biblical. And, you know, in looking at your stuff, it's just like, wow, you know, so where has this gotten lost? And I think, you know, as I was thinking about it, it's kind of like, as you guys, as you mentioned, because John, you're the one that wrote the book, everyone wants that approval and acceptance. Yeah. We all want that. But it seems like in our culture, we've erred on one of either two, you know, it's one of the two extremes. It's either the be all you can be, you can't fail at anything, you're so amazing, that breeds this sense of entitlement and kind of, you know, almost an enabling kind of attitude, especially with young kids today. And we don't like that. Or else you move in the other direction and it's like, well, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Or I'll only let you know when something's wrong. We see that a lot in corporations and, you know, stuff like that.
No,
so then you don't.
News is good news.
Yeah, no news is good news. So you don't get any feedback or any affirmation in anything. So let's just throw this out there for one of you guys, John or Tony, just to talk about what is the biblical foundation for the blessing and why is it so important to start infusing this back into the church and into families?
Well, I'll jump in and we'll toss it to Tony. But what if you walked up to somebody, you know, I walked up to Martha and say, hey, Martha, have you made a choice today? And they go, well, yeah, you know, did you get the double latte or just get, you know, get the whipped cream or not, you know, and or did you? But there's an incredible verse in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And it says this, Almighty God, the nation of Israel is just getting ready to go into the promised land. I mean, like right now. And the Lord says to him, I call heaven and earth to witness against you that I have set before you a choice, life or death, the blessing or the curse. And let me real quickly explain what that's saying. Life and death. I was a Greek major at Dallas Seminary because I got some bad advice, frankly, just in the wrong line. I had no idea that at the time I was a new Christian when I went to seminary, and I didn't know that, you know, if you majored in New Testament, that meant Greek. And at Dallas Seminary, if you major in Greek, that also means you minor in Hebrew. So that was a great 4 years of my life. But the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, right? So the word life in Hebrew means to move toward someone. So like with you, with your kids, you mentioned you've got a couple of, Jesse, you've got a couple of sons, right? Is that right?
A son and a daughter.
A son and a daughter. But, you know, so I could ask you, hey, today, did you move towards your kid? Okay. Or Martha, you know, here at work, you know, are you moving towards people? Are you connecting with the Lord? Movement means life. Okay. Now think about this. The word death in Scripture literally means to step away. And so that's one choice. Are you going to move towards someone or are you going to step away? And a lot of times we start dying inside when we start stepping away from people, because isolation cuts you off from the Lord, from others, and it's so easy to do sometimes. And then let me toss it to Tony. So then that leaves blessing and curse, because remember, he gives us two choices, life or death, and then blessing or curse.
Yeah, the tough thing about in relationships, there's no neutral. You're either blessing or cursing. And cursing literally means to dam up the stream. And so in relationship with others, we have chance to move toward them and bless them and allow streams of living water to flow through them for them to get a taste of who they are in Christ's eyes. But when we don't move toward them, it leaves a curse or a doubt in their mind that kind of thwarts their movement and stops them from being free. And so, you know, here we're talking about relationships, how to... you know, move in freedom and not be miss opportunities to enjoy others and be enjoyed. And so the blessing we're wanting to put before, you don't know how often we hear from people when we talk about blessing and curses. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
I just didn't know. Well, shows like this, we're saying, boy, take that step of faith and move toward blessing.
Hey, and one last thing, and then I'll shut up, is think about a coin.
Yeah, good.
The literal word for to bless means to add weight or value, but it's the picture of adding a coin to a scale. And so, again, that's what I'd be saying. It would be like with your eight daughters, you know. What did you do today to move towards them, or what did you do to add to their life? Well, the word curse is to subtract. So that's the kind of thing. You really could walk up to somebody and if they knew what it meant, and say, how are you doing today at adding to somebody's life? Well, they'd get that, and that's what we're talking about today.
So do you think this is something, and this is kind of where I want to throw it to the table, that we've just missed out on? I mean, where, you know, it's now kind of coming to the forefront and understanding of it. I think a lot of us that are young adults, whether millennials or Gen X, kind of, I think we, you know, we're obviously product of the largest divorce generation. There's a lot of brokenness, and there's a lot of, and now especially for singles, it's just like, okay, well, how do I do that? Because I just kind of, you know, have these friends, but I don't really know what, you know, I don't want to be all creepy with them or whatever. So what, you know, what does it look like to actually to manifest that? I don't know. What's your experience been, you guys, as far as living out, you know, the blessing, having whatever you received versus, you know, how then you give that in return?
Well, one of the things that I think might be a marker of this generation, particularly in the church, is that we're so good at categorizing things and people, and spiritual gifts might be one of those things that we sometimes give ourselves license to not worry about certain attributes of the Christian life because, well, I'm not the one that has the spiritual gift of encouragement, for instance. And so sometimes I think we tend to think that, first of all, we take some of the concepts that are inherent in the blessing and we isolate those to attributes that we either do or don't have. And if we don't have them, we sort of give ourselves permission to say, well, that's just not something I'm good at. I'm not going to worry too much about that. Or we oversimplify it to it's just encouragement. Well, it's far more than encouragement. And I think the aspects of the blessing is as you go through the aspects of the blessing that you talk about, John, and have been teaching on for years, it's not complicated, it's not rocket science, but it's very, very impactful, and it is very, very biblical.
Yeah.
But we tend to, I think, at least some of the, you know, some of my own experience and some of the folks around me, I think sometimes we just tend to forget that we don't just have an opportunity, we have a responsibility to live this way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of what's perhaps getting lost in our interactions with each other in the church, in the workplace, in our own families.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you mentioned spiritual gifts and just talking about personalities earlier of, as an introvert, moving toward people can be tiring.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah.
Do you have any advice for that?
Good, that's good.
Sure. Yeah. Well, no, but you know, if you think about it, you know, sometimes if you are a little bit more introverted, okay, then you can look at somebody. I won't name any names, but I'm looking at our host.
Whoa. Okay.
But anyway, and she's so good with words, and she makes you sit down, and everybody feels like they're part of the team, and you think, okay, that's what it means. Well, no. Think about this. The blessing, there were five things you did when you blessed someone. There was appropriate touch. Okay, so at work, you know, it's just high-five somebody or appropriate touch. You know what I mean? You don't go up and, like you said, creepy hug everybody.
We are talking to mostly singles here.
I know. So I actually think a lot of people hug, which is fine, particularly in, you know, like in Atlanta, they hug everybody, you know, so the whole state. But the point is that, you know, is there a way you could, you know, just that responsibility? Gosh, I loved what Leon said. You know, it's not just an opportunity, but a responsibility. So you look at an opportunity to just that appropriate touch, high five somebody, give them a hug if they're hurting, whatever. Mm. Well, that's moving towards somebody. It's verbally. The second thing is you verbalize the blessing. You say it. Now, that's harder when you tend to hold back in relationships because, well, is this the right setting? Is this the right time? And that's why I was saying, Leon saying, it's not just an opportunity. It's a responsibility. Proverbs says, hey, don't withhold good if it's there, you know, for you to give. So just, but what do you say? Well, words that attach high value. So, you know, it'd be like saying, Tony, I know today, you know, you're going to drive 8.5 hours so you can beat your daughter's basketball game. How cool is that? You know, and so that's you know, because
he's good. So it's not like some highfalutin. It's not like you're quoting Shakespeare or you're putting something down, because I think that could be intimidating.
Right.
Speaking of blessing.
So it's words, though, but words that say, man, you know what, you're. And not the kind of thing, like you said, affirmation apart from any kind of context. Mm-hmm. Like they get, you know, they're doing terrible in school because they're not trying. And you say, oh, you're so brilliant. And they look at you like, yeah, okay. and then that commitment. So, you're probably a lot more encouraging than you realize.
Definitely.
But sometimes we'll look at somebody that's, like, you know, like you were saying, that's so gifted at it, and you think, well, that's the standard. No, the standard is start walking it out. Just start walking it out. Right, Tony?
Yeah, like right when we walked in the building this morning, both you and Jesse saw us and gave us dignity with your eyes. You noticed us. And really, that's what it's about. I get to teach the blessing on a college campus, and really, that's what it's, you know, the movement is just seeing people. And you know, Jesus was great at that. He saw the people and he gave them dignity. The religious didn't. In our society today, our eyes are on ourselves a lot. And how do I look and how am I coming across? But if you can escape that and see people and just, you know, words of, man, you look great, or, you know, genuine things you're seeing about others, it takes them back. Wow, that's different. And it is the funnest thing to catch stories that happen as we challenge students just to see others, you know, like Jesus did.
And by the way, you are doing that with your words. The blessing challenge that we talked about is a million people choosing to change the life of one kid. So do you have a niece or a nephew, or do you have a kid that's 5 or 6 years old that you like?
I do, yeah.
Okay, all right. Boy or girl? Okay. Boy or girl?
Girl.
Okay, so you're going to write down a little blessing for her, take her out for a little special time, just you and your, is it a niece?
Niece.
You and a niece, you're going to take her to McDonald's or wherever she wants to go, you know, sit down with her and say, hey, you know, when things get tough, I've written out these words, and you're just going to read her the words, because you're good at using words and doing it in the blog and everything else. See what I'm getting at? So don't think, man, I'm not an encourager. Sometimes people, you know, just again, they think, you know, they're not doing this, but they're just doing it in a different way. There's different mm-hmm. ways to bless.
Mm-hmm. We just had a great example of this at Boundless, because we had a girl who's a fan of the show write into us on Wednesday on her 26th birthday. So she wrote us a letter saying, it's my golden birthday. And she said, instead of doing a big party this year, one thing I decided to do was write to the 26 people who have most influenced my life. And I picked the Boundless show as one of those things. You know, she's never met us. Great. She's just a fan of the show. She listens. And so we got that letter, and it was on like birthday, like balloon paper and stuff. And I passed it over to Martha, and I was like, this is so awesome. I mean, we don't. And then I looked, and she's a friend on Facebook, you know, so I sent her a little message back, and I was like, thanks so much. And thanks for, you know, listening and stay in touch and all that kind of stuff. And it was just a neat thing that she chose to be intentional about doing say, you know, I'm going to pick these people, and, you know, as a young adult, to be able to do that.
It's small, but good. I mean, I guarantee, Jesse, with your kids, with your son or daughter, it's probably not. I mean, take them to Disneyland, that's great, or something huge, you know, a cruise, you know, whatever. But man, it's just hanging with you. It doesn't have to be something huge to bless somebody, right?
Well, that's what's so encouraging to hear, is that it's living intentionally. And yes, and sometimes right. that sounds yes. easy, but with you know, school and work, you can just get so busy with responsibilities that sometimes you get a little bit selfish and like, okay, I need some downtime. Just, you know, and it's important to recharge. But at the same time, you got to include the people around you in some of that downtime. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's the simple things. It's just, you know, putting our arm around your kid and saying, you know, great job today, or, you know, just, I just love being around you. You know, I mean, it just seems that it's the simple things that really add up to a blessing in somebody's life.
Yeah.
That's so right.
Can I give you a real quick example of this? Yeah. I walk into, can we name brands on this show? I walk into Starbucks and there's this barista who is like way too perky. Do you know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about? There's the really happy people, and those, that's fine. But then there's the ones that are, and it was Tony. And when Tony was working on his doctoral degree, I walk into a Starbucks, and he's working part-time at Starbucks as a barista.
My dream job.
There you go. Yeah.
So his eyes light up when he was that way with everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, let me tell you, you want to be in a work shift with somebody mm-hmm. that is fired up to be there, even if it's a crummy job, you know, because you're deciding, Lord, you know, I'm doing this job for you, so I can start moving towards you. And so even though today I'm, you know, listening to this program on my iPod, driving into that crummy job where nobody affirms me, like you said earlier, mm-hmm. But you know what? So what? I can go in there and be the light of the world, because that's mm-hmm. really what the blessing is saying. You know, he blesses us so that then we can do something with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a gift card.
Yeah.
The blessing is like, do you know how many billions of dollars mm-hmm. a year aren't cashed in? So we're saying, mm-hmm. man, these five things, you know, touch, appropriate touch, you know, mm-hmm. appropriate touch, you know, say it, attach high value, special future. I missed that one mm-hmm. somehow. How did I miss that one? Yeah. But is so important.
You got it.
Leon, who in your life, to illustrate that, who in your life was like, said to you, man, you have a special future. I mean, was it a parent, or was there a person?
You know,
you could
I
think
was
of
just thinking about that this morning, coming in for this this roundtable, and I was really blessed. Even though I came from a broken home, and I was really blessed with a number of people. My mom, my dad. I had a great basketball coach who, you know, I went to a small Christian school where if you had a pulse and a C+ average, you could play basketball. So if you know me, if you're looking at me, you're thinking, yeah, he played basketball in high school, right? But I had a great coach who saw past some of the struggles I had with my temper and pulled me aside, sometimes right out of games while the game was still going on in the hallway, and he'd pull me aside and Gary would say, you know, Leon, this isn't just about a score. This is about your character. This is about your heart. And,
wow.
You know, he would affirm that I had leadership potential. He would affirm that, you know, I had a great passion for the things that I did and applied myself to. But also, at the same time, he was also great at mixing in not just that high value and affirmation, but a word of instruction at the same time, which made me, I think, a lot more open to the instruction side of things, too. I've been also blessed with some great bosses who have worked with me in the past and have just said a word or two here or there that just gave me the idea that maybe I have more to offer than I even realize what I'm doing now. And that those things, if they as they happen, you know, just to serve the Lord well wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And I've been very blessed that way.
Cool. Mm. That's awesome.
You know, it's interesting, and I'd like to talk about this a little bit. The idea of, you know, you hear so many people say, well, it's great. Everyone wants to receive that encouragement, but I think we don't want to admit it, you know, because we don't want people to say, well, you know, you're great, but I'm sure you already know that, or I don't want to give you a big head. You know, you get a lot of that in the culture, and I've had people say that, you know, even about the show. You know, they're like, well, Lisa, you know, you do a great job with the show and stuff, but I'm sure everyone tells you that, or I'm sure, you know, you're, that sweater looks great, but I'm sure everyone tells you that, or something like that. And, you know, it's funny because I talk with my girlfriends, and I'm like, the one thing women are experts at is tearing ourselves down, and I don't know that we could ever receive enough encouragement or enough building up to counteract the volume of times, you know, that we tear ourselves down. I don't know. What do y'all think about that?
I don't know what texting and tweeting is doing to our culture communication-wise, but I love it, the times that I feel the most, you know, words toward my wife or my girls or my son that I want to say to them is when I'm in the car or when I'm doing something. So I am loving texting blessings too.
Well, but not texting in the car.
When you're when someone else is driving. Actually, I speak my text now in my new fancy phone.
That's good.
But. It is, and so we're challenging people when you feel a blessing toward others. I think, man, you're doing a great job, or I so enjoy you, or you bless me, to not hold that inside, because you're right, Lisa, that culturally we think, oh, they already know that. I'm not going to say it. I'm really throwing it out there. But wow, take a chance to text it or tweet it when you're not driving. And
absolutely. And let me, can I just throw out one thought, which is. And I never even thought about this really till you brought it up. But like, you know, we're sitting here, and so Lisa's the hostess, and she has beautiful hair. You haven't seen, because you're on radio. You can't really tell.
Yeah.
But as you keep turning your hair and the sun glints off it, well, but there's a lot of times you feel like, well, wait a minute, I can't say that. Because then if I said that, you know, I'm this, you know, old guy, so you're hitting on this, you know, but no, do you see what I'm getting at? There's sometimes where there's so many barriers that step back. You know, you do a great job of hosting this, and my daughter listens to, we got to get Carrie on here. I'll bring Carrie on with me sometime. In an honoring context, but in a way that, you know, where you can say it without feeling like, you know, what holds us back. So a lot of times there's things that holds us back from saying it because we think they're going to misinterpret or, you know, whatever.
How did that feel? He just, I mean, that was pretty cool. He just blessed you. And
I
love that. Yeah.
I just feel like, you know, I barely made it here this morning and whatever. So, that's great.
Yeah.
I've seen that at some events that Focus on the Family's on with fathers and sons, and those sons just so badly want a blessing from their fathers. And we did a week-long camp one time, and I was with an older group of boys, fathers and sons, you know, college age and later in high school. And maybe the most meaningful bit of ministry I've ever seen in my 18 years of Focus on the Family. Just a father intentionally getting in the middle of a group of guys with his son, putting his arms on his son and saying, son, I love you. Wow. And there were times where the dad would get out two words and they would embrace and just start crying for like 2 minutes. Like they couldn't even, it was just so meaningful and so powerful. Mm-hmm. And so I think people are just really thirsty for that blessing within their families.
Well, I think, Jesse, that brings up a good point, and I want you guys to address this, the men at the table. There are probably a lot of guys listening who are just like, I never had that. I don't even know what that is. I don't even know how I would respond to that. And how do like grown guys, like two single guys who maybe are in an accountability group together or whatever, what does that look like for men to give the blessing to one another?
Well, actually, you know, believe it or not, for guys, there's a sense in which a lot of guys connect by slamming each other, you know, because, you know, it's which I won't do with Tony, which I could, but I won't. And so it's almost like there's kind of a language that goes on, you know, but it's really not intentional sitting down. And what I meant, just to try to go back to the hair thing so you don't feel uncomfortable, you know, or anything like this, but what I was trying to get at is like with my daughters, or with other people, there's times where, you know, I think we really want to be sensitive to where, Maybe is the Lord kind of prompting us to say something? Sometimes we need to kind of push through it and say it. Mm-hmm. And that could be, you know, kind of guy to guy instead of just that horsing around. Oh, they know it. Mm-hmm. The other day I was with a buddy of mine, and he has a special needs daughter, and he was just kind of quiet, so I was slamming him for being quiet, which was kind of a guy way of saying, you know, oh, come on, you know, man up, you know, what's the matter, here you are. And then after I did that, I said, hey, so what's going on? Hmm. And it's, well, we're having a really tough time with, you know, and it was like, man, if I hadn't asked the second question.
Yeah.
So maybe ask the second question, pushed through that to say, if the Lord's really kind of prompting you to, with somebody, because if you just ask, then they've got permission to share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there are also ways that I'm kind of reminded of talking to Emerson Egerich a while back on the show, and talking about how women can affirm men and vice versa, and to just say, you know, especially for a woman, especially a single woman, you know, if I'm in my Sunday school class and I see one of the guys do something that's really upstanding, you know, to just say, wow, you know, I really respect that, or I really offer that, you know, kind of affirmation in a way. And I think, you know, again, it's just that we're so hesitant to say something, or we don't think of it, or we don't. It's, again, something that you have to actively do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I want to say that it is more the majority that didn't receive the blessing than received it, which is kind of a bummer. But, and so if, you know, the audience is listening that, boy, I didn't receive that blessing. And so am I cursed or am I stuck? And no, you're not at all. And to take the step and recognize, boy, there's something missing in me that's driving me. And to just heighten our awareness, to be aware of, I don't know why I do that, or I react this way, or I don't feel at rest or peace. Or so to acknowledge those cues that our body and our mind's trying to give us, there's something there. Mm-hmm. Just taking a little bit of just saying, okay, there's something there. God, help me to see what that is. And help me to work through this. And it's just fun how then he can bring someone into your life to give you a chance to talk, or listen to this radio show or this podcast, or read something. And just opening the door to saying, God, I'm willing to look at that area of my life, that wound that drives me, gives him a chance to come in and free us and walk in a blessing.
Yeah. Can I give you a quick example of that?
Yeah.
I remember when I first came to the Lord, I grew up single parent home, and lots of anger, and which helps you, as you guys know, in sports. But then you get out in real life, and for some reason, it doesn't work as well.
That's right.
And but this guy gave me sits down with me. Well, the guy led me to Christ, Doug Barron, my Young Life leader, and he writes out Hebrews 13:5b. First part is be free of the love of money, but the second part that he wrote out is, for he himself, so it's Jesus, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. And he goes, go home and read that 100 times. So I was a new Christian, and I thought he was serious. So I go home, for he himself, he meant like metaphorically, go home and read it. Okay. I read it 100 times, but I don't even get to 100. I get to about 40, for he himself, and all of a sudden, I was weeping, and I didn't cry back then. I wrestled in college and thought I was a stud, and I was, and all of a sudden I'm weeping, and it's that deal. It's kind of like those dads that you saw that couldn't get two words out. All of a sudden, I couldn't get two words of that verse out, because I've got a heavenly Father that gives me and reverses the curse. In Deuteronomy 23:5, it says, for the Lord was not willing that the curse rest upon you. Remember, that's subtraction. Mm-hmm. So whoever's taken anything from your life, that person that walked out on you, or parents didn't bless you, or that boss that never affirms you, whatever people take from you, God is not willing that the curse rest upon you. But the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God, and that's 3 times in one verse, the Lord your God, the Lord your God, the Lord your God. So it's that, you know, he's telling you, catch this, you know. I'm not going to let that curse rest upon you. I'm going to add to your life so that then you can really bless others and walk out this blessing. That's what's so cool.
And I think that's huge, to recognize what God steps in and does, because that way we don't have to be stuck. We can't say the first 25 years of my life were terrible and I had no father. I had no influences. I had no, all I was, you know, I just was stomped down. But God has stepped in that role. And now, so I think that's good, because now we can turn that around. I think that's huge and very, very important to remember. So, mm-hmm. And I think there are, I mean, I'm kind of like pumped up, because it's great, because you think, okay, well, what can I do today? Now, how's my day today going to be different than it was yesterday, as far as offering blessing to people and to doing it? There's a little bit of that element. I mean, I don't know. It's funny, because, you know, Martha's here, and obviously we went and talked about, you know, okay, so she's a beaver, and then we have golden retrievers and whatever. So for me, it's probably easier to bless with words. You know, maybe some people receive blessing in different ways or in better ways, but I guess we could probably say that just any way you can get it is probably good.
Sure.
I mean, we're not gonna be well stingy said. About like how it has to be a certain That's way or right, something yeah. like
but,
that.
But you know, we mentioned at the very start this thing called the Blessing Challenge, mm-hmm. and we're actually working with Focus over the next 7 years to get 1 million people to purposely sit down and write out a blessing. And we're gonna have a whole section on the website where we encourage singles to live out the blessing.
Yes.
Because, mm-hmm. man, what a awesome, you know, opportunity to walk into the people in our life and our family and be that person of blessing, even if they never gave it to us. Because that's the deal. Once you realize, like with me, I mean, I was so wounded and used to hate my dad. Well, the word luo in Greek is the word for forgiveness. Mm. And it literally means to untie the knot.
Mm.
Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. So when you forgive someone, so when I was all tied up in knots, so when I hated my dad, when I finally forgave him, then I was free to really bless not just other people. I could even go back to my dad and be in the same room without being angry. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, strongfamilies.com is where John resides when he's not running around the country speaking. And Tony, so great to have you here. It's going to be great to work with you as you probably get involved with us, I'm sure, in a major way with Focus, with the Blessing Challenge. So very exciting to have you and all the rest of you guys here at the table for contributing. So I think we'll go ahead. We'll put a shout out on the blog and start getting people talking about how they're going to start putting this into practice in their families, in their work relationships. And we'll start kind of sharing some of our ideas and some of our successes. You'll probably walk up to people and bless them, and they'll be like, "What was that?" So, you know, it'll be interesting to get some people's reactions. I'm sure there will be people that are like, "What? You know, what's that for?" They'll think you're joking or something. So, but we will overcome. We will do that. Right. So we'll start here with the Boundless Show. So thanks, everyone.
Bless it forward.
Yes, bless it forward. Yes. Thanks, everyone.
You bet. Thank you.